This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you can find the time to stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Well, hey, what it do? What is up? It's good Tuesday. It's me, Rob. A little late to my headphones here. Hold on. Got Buck over there.
I ripped his ass, quite frankly.
Well, did you play Fart Drop during the Open?
I did, because you did.
Yeah.
It was a response to you.
Nice. I feel like when people hear this in the Open,
they know Rob is here.
You know I'm here, and you know what kind of mood I'm in. And then Buck fired back, which means Buck's getting frisky. The fan's only poet laureate, Ryan Buckley. Feeling frisky.
Put your big boy pants on. Rop is here.
That's right. Sook's not here. You know what today is?
It is Sook's birthday, right?
Oh.
Is that so? Well, so.
Well, I don't need to play this. It's Sook's birthday. Happy birthday, Sook. The old boy is 47. 46? 47. I think he's 47 today. So happy birthday to Big Sook. He's out on vacation, so you're not going to hear from him.
Nope.
Although we could play a bunch of drops if you'd like. Like this.
Germany's a great city.
This.
I do knew that.
Or this.
I got something's on.
Or this.
He did a dir. He did a lot of dirs.
Or this.
He was a beta theta.
He's here in spirit.
Our boy!
This son of a bitch.
I think it would
Holy
suck.
Cow.
Don't you think it would suck to have a December birthday?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it depends. Way early December, maybe okay, but yeah, I do.
I think even early December would suck.
Yeah,
especially
I mean,
if you're a
how
kid.
Important are birthdays though?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's more for kids.
Yeah,
you know, because adults don't really care.
But
well,
no, it's a bummer when you're a kid and your big day gets lumped in with something else.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yep.
Can you imagine, poor little kids? I've come up with a list. I have a list of the top six, wait, five, top six worst birthday dates.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready for that list? Do you want it now?
Sure. Let's get this thing fired up.
Let's get it out of the way.
What?
Top quality content right out of the gate. Well, we all know what number one is. So I'll start at six.
Do we all know what number one is?
Well, I think you should. What do you think it is?
Well, I can go two very different directions here. Worst birth dates to have?
Yeah.
I mean, Christmas wouldn't be great.
Okay.
But additionally, neither would 9/11.
Okay, both on the list.
Okay.
Both on the list. Number six is April 1st.
Okay.
Because, well...
You tell people it's your birthday, yeah. They don't believe you.
Bah. How tired are you of that joke?
Oh, yeah, really tired.
Famous April 1st birthdays, Logan Paul, who signed a deal to fight Floyd Mayweather today. Did you see that?
Was it? I thought it was McGregor. Was it Mayweather?
Or no, wait.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, McGregor.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Very different people.
Yeah, very
different. I mean, they're kind of the same guy.
Yeah, McGregor. Sorry.
What?
He was born on April 1st, so was the great Rachel Maddow, or the not-so-great, depending on your viewpoint. Number five, worst birth dates, April 20th. Congrats, you share a birthday with Hitler.
Oh, that's a bummer.
You don't want that.
Well, it's also 420.
Yeah, there's that.
You know?
I didn't even think about that. Is that still a thing with you pot smokers?
I think it is for, like, college kids.
What do they do? Do they just get extra high?
I think they sit around and get stoned all day.
Well, they get stoned all day anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Those born on April 20th, George Takei, Jessica Lange, and Carmen Electra share a birthday with the great Hitler. Hold on, I got to sneeze.
Wait a second.
I mean, the not-so-great Hitler.
There you go.
I was being, you know, sarcastic.
I don't think I'm going to clip that.
Yeah, please don't. Number four, worst birth dates to have, September 11th. You called it.
Okay.
Obvious reasons. Those born on December 11th, you may know, Moby, Ludacris, and Harry Connick Jr.
My neighbor growing up was born on September 11th, and obviously before 2001, there was nothing wrong with her birthday, and after that, her birthday was a huge bummer.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that the older people listening have the same about December, was December 7th?
Sure, yeah.
And then maybe the Kennedy assassination, I don't remember what, was that November?
Remember that date either, but yeah.
But
I'm sure there are other significant historic events that people associate with certain dates.
In the top three worst birth dates to have, number three, September 9th. Do you know why?
9/9.
Do you know why, Barry?
No, I don't.
That is the most common birth date on the calendar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So you're very basic if you were born on September 9th. Those birthdays include...
Does that mean everyone's conceived on New Year's? Is that how that works?
I think that's pretty close.
New Year's or Christmas?
Well, if you look at... I actually saw a story today that ranked 1 through 365 the birthdays in terms of most common to least common.
Yeah, you sent me a very odd series of texts today about this. I'm like, where's this going?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But the top four or five are all in September. It's because people are all doing it in the winter. They're doing it over Christmas. They're doing it over New Year's.
Cuddle up and stay warm.
That's right. So, did I tell you who? Yeah, September 9th, Michael Bublé, Adam Sandler, Hugh Grant. Very basic people. Okay. And the top two worst birth dates. Number two, February 29th. You forget about this.
Yeah.
But you only get to celebrate once every 4 years. Mm-hmm. That would be Tony Robbins, Ja Rule, and Dinah Shore.
Ja Rule.
Your boy, Ja Rule.
Yeah, that's my guy.
That is your guy. You in the Fire Festival. And number one, the worst birth date is, and it's not even close really, December 25th. Yeah. Why are you cheering? It just plain stinks if you're a kid.
Now, you could also make an argument that December 24th isn't much better and could go ahead of it on those
any
other
them,
ones on the
any
list.
Any of them, yeah. When you're a kid, it just sucks. And unless your parents do the right thing, which some of them do, and they completely separate the two dates and they give you your own, they give you an entire day for your birthday with gifts and everything, with different wrapping paper, that's the key too. You know, that's, if they don't do that, You're hooped. Now, I think you probably grow out of that when you're a December baby, and by the time you turn 25, 22, whatever it is, you don't really care. But as a matter of fact, I think when you're older, you might want to have a December birthday, right? Because then it's just kind of...
It just fades into everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
You don't want to be a standalone birthday. Fun fact, if you look at the list of least common birth dates, it's all the holidays of the year.
Really?
Did you know that? And do you know why?
My guess is that expecting mothers on the holidays essentially kind of put off going to the hospital a little longer than they should.
I do knew that.
Yeah, that's right. They don't schedule C-sections.
Oh, that makes a ton of sense.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So they're all right there at the bottom of the list. As for the most common dates, as I mentioned, they are all in September. The top five are September 9th, 19th, 12th, 17th, and 10th, because people do it in the winter.
And nine and a half months, so yeah.
Exactly. And as for which of your favorite afternoon show blokes has the most common birthday, the answer is me. And I don't like that.
You want a more unique birthday?
I thought mine was unique, but it's not. July 9th, shared with the great O.J. Simpson.
So there you go.
Again, being sarcastic. Yeah. Being sarcastic.
Jesus.
40th most common birthday, July 9th. Souk, today, December 17th, 97th most common. And Ryan Buckley, born February 3rd, 296th most common.
Ooh.
You are very unique, sir.
Wait, least common. Most common?
296th most common.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got
whatever
it.
Whatever that is, minus 365.
Sure.
Least common. But that means you're the most special of the three of us, so congratulations.
Well, I certainly feel special.
Yes, his smart-ass text back to me when I asked what his birthday was. he said February 3rd, and then I said, well, you're the most special of all of us. And he said, oh, I didn't need the text to tell me that. Duh. Bunch of goobers. Well, we miss Big Souk today. He'd be here undoubtedly telling us a tale of running into one of the olds in his neighborhood and pissing them off, or something in the store where he had to intervene when he really didn't, and he thinks he had no choice, but he did.
Something that forces him to tell us the size of his dog's
poops.
Yeah.
Yeah. We miss that. We'll get that back on December 30th or something? I don't know. A couple weeks from yesterday, he'll be back. This is my last day. I'm 1 foot out the door. I'm going to go on vacation.
Where are you going? Or are you staycationing?
I can't tell you where I'm going.
Why not?
Because there might be someone listening who doesn't need to know that.
I see.
It's a surprise for some people. But
for some people.
We are traveling. But we'll be back. We'll be back before Christmas. We'll be just doing nothing next week for the most part. I'll be here Friday next week, though. So that's hot.
Sweet.
Everybody's talking about that.
Wait, is that the 27th?
Yeah, Friday.
I will not be here.
Where are you going? Oh, you're going
Bay
to
Bay Area. Yeah, I'm going there for 4 days.
You Bay Area fools. What's the weather like down there right now? Is it awesome?
I don't actually know. I think it's okay.
Better than here.
Probably. Today sucks here.
My God. Is this the worst type of day?
Yes. I was thinking that walking in. I am not a weather complainer.
I know you're not.
I don't care about rain
I am.
In general. Like, I just expect it to kind of be gray and that's fine.
Yeah.
When it is raining heavily and cold, I hate that.
And it's super gray.
Yeah.
And extra foggy.
Yeah, I don't mind if it's really cold and crisp. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, we had several of those days couple weeks.
Yeah. And those are lovely.
It feels like Montana. But this, if
the text line saying January 6th ought to be on that list. Worst birthdays.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one, actually. Didn't think about that.
A new one. A newcomer to the list.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, got a big hot show today. All the guests that will be on. I will name them for you now. And in addition to that, a lot of college football talk. Do they call it an offering plate? Or you go to church, right?
Yeah.
Is it an offering plate or is it a collection plate?
I think it's the same thing. Two different words for the same thing.
Do they still do that?
Not at my church, they don't.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing of the past. Because people get some sticky fingers, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah.
Remember when you used to put checks in there?
Yeah, my parents would like put a little envelope in there with their check.
Yeah. Or you put a $10 check just right there on the pew. It's exciting.
I've never seen anyone do that. We bring your checkbook to the pew with you, huh?
Yeah, well, if you didn't have cash.
Why don't you just write it ahead of time? You got.
Well, they
you
did.
Forgot.
Sometimes. But sometimes, I don't know. And maybe it's just revisionist history. I don't know. I remember being in church and having to put money in that damn thing. They're always getting in our pockets. But now,
I mean, if you're walking the righteous path, you're supposed to be tithing 10%, right?
Well, that's Yeah, isn't that the LDS church?
I think that's a lot of churches.
Is it?
I think.
10%?
I think.
That's awful steep.
I don't disagree.
My God. I mean,
and how does one come up with such a number?
Yeah. Why not 12?
Why not 2?
Why not 0? What are you doing for me?
Or why not 50? Why just stop at 10?
Yeah, give us all your money. Don't worry. We'll help you out.
I'll come back around.
Yeah, everybody's saying it's all digital now. All the church.
Oh, yeah, they probably have like QR codes and stuff. I mean, mine doesn't, but.
Yeah. Wow. Technology, man. I just remember the olden days. We'd go to church and have to sit there and listen to that guy drone on about nothing.
Wait, was that guy your dad?
No. He was a minister.
I thought so.
But we didn't go. He was younger when he was doing that. I probably went to his church, but I think I went to Sunday school. But we'd go to another church and listen to another minister drone on about nothing. And then I was wondering, like, you know, what's going on in the football games? And, geez, are they going to have donuts after this today? Or
now, if Suk were here, he would tell the story about how his dad would bring the portable television and set it down on the ground in church.
In church.
Yeah.
Much respect for that. I didn't have the ball. I mean, I couldn't get away with that.
Of course
not. As a young man, young youth, pretending to care.
I don't think that they would let any kid get away with that. It has to be an adult getting away with that.
Yeah, they take me in the back and beat me up. Shove me back out there with a couple black guys. Send a message to the kids, the other kids.
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
That's right. But I remember, they passed the collection plate, man. I was always fascinated by how much money would pile up in that thing.
A little ROP ever get sticky fingers?
No. I mean, I did, but not from the church. Wouldn't steal from the church.
Yeah, that's bad juju.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Not
steal from other people that deserve it.
I don't know. You're toying with something there that I don't want any part of.
Yeah. Well, big show, guys. College football. This is why I asked. I've got the Tuesday college football offering plate today.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
They're already talking about changes to the playoff.
Where do these come from?
I don't know. They're just off the top. I mean, they're just.
They used to always be like exclusively food. Yeah. And now we've got.
Well, yeah.
The other day we had.
You got
to be very careful. We had the Tidbitties.
One of my favorites.
One of the most dangerous shows we've done.
Yeah. We got an NFL F around today.
Oh.
We've had one of those before.
We have.
Hey, you want to talk about the NBA Cup?
How about the new All-Star format?
We can lump it all in together as a giant who cares.
I think we should.
You know, but yeah, new
amazingly,
All-Star
I think the format is more interesting than the NBA Cup.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't mind the new format. At least they're trying.
They're doing something different.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought about it was, and we'll get into it, but I have not watched or even given any thought to watch the NBA All-Star game for 15 years. I will watch this. So,
really?
I mean, they're getting me there.
You don't ever just tune in and then instantly regret it?
I tune in to, like, see Steph Curry's intro the first time you went or whatever, but it's, like, very specific. The game is horrid. The whole, like, 200 points aside and, like, I mean, it's terrible.
It is terrible.
So, no, I haven't watched it in 15 years.
Well, every year I'm always like, oh, All-Star game's on. I better tune in.
I actually love All-Star Saturday. I mean, I always watch the three-point and the dunk, and even though people think the dunk sucks now, like, I'll watch both.
Well, the dunk does suck, but the three-point contest is great. And then I'll tune into the All-Star game and go, oh, yeah, the All-Star game, and I'll check it out. And then I'll be like, oh, my God, why did I turn this on? But then I always get roped into turning it back on in the fourth quarter just to see if anything exciting's happening.
Yeah.
And usually it's not. Or one team is letting the other team come back to make it close. But now they're going to do something completely different, guys. And if you haven't heard what they're going to do, we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
Hopefully for not too long. And why Adam Schefter and that goober Doug Gottlieb are fighting, we're going to get into that today, too.
Yeah, a little Twitter fight.
Yeah, so settle in. Grab an eggnog. It's a holiday edition of Primetime. Happy birthday to Big Suk. We'll be right back with today's poll question on The Fan. All right, guys, we're almost there. Christmas next week.
I'm gonna lasso Santa
it's Tuesday.
Clothes,
thanks for being here. Brian Buckley's sitting right over there. We were talking hot college hoops during the break, but we can't take that combo on the air. Too hot to handle for you guys.
And of interest to almost no one.
That's fair. All right. Well, let's get to our poll question. Oh, no, wait. First, I wanted to read you a text. People are talking about the offering plates, or as this man calls it, the offertory basket.
Ooh.
And he says, I remember seeing people make change out of the offertory basket when I was a kid, and I always thought that was really funny.
What?
Yes, I remember that too. You didn't. You never saw.
Well, someone's gonna. They show up with a 20 and they take 10 back.
Yes.
Just show up with the right change, man, or just give them the 20.
Now you're a little younger. Do you even remember the plate?
Yeah, like I told you, I remember my parents putting a little envelope in because they would write a check ahead of time. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I forgot.
They passed the plate around youth group, man.
Did they?
Yeah.
Get in those kids' pockets?
I gave some of my money to that.
Man. What was I going to say? Oh, we were talking about writing checks and putting them in there?
Mm-hmm.
What's the last thing you wrote a check for?
Because
I know the answer to this from on my end, although I had to think about it. And I don't know why I do this. I mean, I still have checks. Doesn't everybody still have checks?
I do, but my wife does not. So anytime either of us need a check, she needs me to write one.
Oh, yeah?
She doesn't have physical
checks.
But
what do you need a check for? Because I don't think
there's
really
anything.
I'm trying
to remember what
it was. Well, for me, it was taxes, like property tax bill that came in the mail the other day. Or, you know, it always comes in November. And I may or may not have had some old taxes that I had to pay. Wasn't my fault. I'm an accountant for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I sent them. I don't know why. I don't go. It says right on the thing, go online to pay these. But I find their portals cumbersome. And so I just write a check. It's easier to write a check and slap a stamp on it and send it out. So I would bet if I went back in my account and looked at all the checks I'd written for the year, it's probably three or four. And they're all to Multnomah County or City of Portland. And that's it. Yeah, I don't write a check for
anything. I'm trying to think of the last time that I needed to write one. I mean, for almost 9 years, I wrote one in for my apartment in San Francisco every month.
Rent?
Yeah, for rent. But
all $20,000 of it per month?
No, I got into a steal of a situation where I was not paying nearly as much as I should have been.
Well, there's some people saying that the offerings, as they were, are collected through Venmo now.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I bet there's places doing QR codes, too. Just scan it.
Yeah.
Donate.
So hot.
Someone on here saying they write checks for their yard service. I think that might have been one of them. I think that, like, I wrote a check maybe to, like, a tree trimming service or something like that. Or someone that does, like, work around the home, landscaping sort
That's
of
fair.
A thing.
Those guys usually like cash, though. So I like to slip them a little cash. You know, under the table.
You know, a little something.
It may or may not be legal. I don't know. That's how they like to operate, on the fringes. Yeah, it's weird. I guess there's, I mean, unless I'm missing something, text in if I'm missing it. But is there anything that still you have to
that
write
requires
a check?
A check?
Yes, you just have to write a check. It's the only way to do it. I just don't think there is.
Maybe if you need to get a license for something, like I don't know, like a hunting license or a gun license or like something that they want a paper trail on, perhaps. But everything's digital. Everything's electronic. So I don't know.
2024, man. Poll question today on X at 1080 The Fan. Actually, let's get to yesterday's. We asked you, what was the coolest sports moment this past weekend? 35% of you said Bills Lions track meet. 32% said Navy over Army. 29% Oregon's portal wins. And only 4% said Travis Hunter. Which is a shame, because I really liked what I saw from Travis Hunter in the Heisman ceremony. Nice kid. By the way, I have more on him today. Did you see what Deion Jr. said about him?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Deion's youngest, I guess.
Yeah, Deion Sanders Jr.
Yeah, he's like the team videographer or something.
He's a social media guy.
Yeah, and he went on a podcast and was talking about Travis Hunter today, and he pointed out something that nobody knows about Travis Hunter that's pretty damn cool.
Maybe I might know what this is, but I
that's a tease.
Yeah, it is.
It's a radio tease.
For whatever reason, probably because I clicked on a couple stories earlier, the whole Travis Hunter's girlfriend thing is stuck in my algorithm. So I saw that she dropped an 8-minute video trying to shut up the haters.
Yeah. That's not my kind of content.
No, I don't want it to be my kind of content, but there it is.
Well, find out what he said in our upcoming Tuesday college football offering plate. See what I did there?
Yes.
Today's poll question is as follows. It is up there for you on X at 1080 The Fan. What do you think draws football recruits to Oregon most? Nike, money, Lanning and staff, or it's just cool? Vote and vote hard. Now, I get it's a little bit of a lot of all of those.
I was going to say, where do I check all of the above?
But you, I don't ever give you guys a cop out of all of the above.
No, you don't.
It's that's why I put in the word most.
Well, and that's why we have to vote hard.
That's right.
It's not a vote easy.
You have to think.
It's not a vote easy.
What do you think draws football recruits to Oregon most? Now, this is up there because I like to pit the Oregon bros against the non-Oregon bros because they're both very passionate creatures. And the non-Oregon bros are definitely going to just, they're going to pound money. When they vote hard, they're going to pound the keyboard and say money. It's all about money. It's only money. That's the only reason Oregon's any good. It's always money.
And I think money is a massive, massive component to it. Maybe the most important, but I also think that the best players can get that money anywhere. Not anywhere, but at the top five or 10 programs.
Yeah, and that's why Oregon bro is going to mash Lanning.
And that's where
Lanning's going to win.
It's the combo of that. I think the Nike and the cool, and It's Just Cool are almost one and the same. I think Nike has a lot to do with the It's Just Cool, but there's also just kind of an aura and a vibe there about being innovative and cutting edge and new. I think that's icing on the cake for most of the dudes. I think it's money and the program and the people.
I mean, I point this out all the time, but Jimbo Fisher, what'd they do at Texas A&M? They had like $20 million NIL.
$30
million NIL class?
Yeah.
And they didn't win S.
Nope.
I guess that kind of...
He got to walk away with like 70 mil, so that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I just mean, I guess that kind of points to it's not always about the money.
Right. Definitely. But
anyway, vote, and we'll reset you on the results of that later in our show. Let's get to our Tuesday college football offering plate. What Deion Jr. said about Travis Hunter, kind of cool. Lincoln Riley loses another five-star, and more changes coming to the college football playoff, and they could be next year. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple people texting in things that you must exclusively write a check for. They're saying a new passport. Is that true? That can't be true.
Sure, yeah, I can see there being like government things that maybe you need that for because they're so antiquated and they, again, want the paper trail.
Well, P1 Scott texted in about taxes, at least around here. Oftentimes when you go online, you can pay in their portals, but they charge you extra. They charge you a percentage on that. So it's easier to just write a check. It's cheaper. Another one says, I believe you still have to write an effing check to the Oregonian. Is this true? God. Welcome to the 18th century. And there was one other one. Dr. Buckley.
I'm looking for it now.
Oh, it was... can't find it.
Daycare.
Oh, that's right. Daycare. But I wouldn't know about that. You would.
Yeah, but we don't pay with a check. It's a...
What do you pay with?
I think we have a... We have like an auto pay set up.
Nice.
I mean, they just... Nice. It's going. We don't want to think about it. Don't want to punch it in every month.
As far as I'm concerned... Totally. As far as I'm concerned, if you don't have an app that I can't check balances and make payments and do recurrings, I don't want to deal with you. Unless I have to, of course. All right, well, we'll get to the NBA Cup. Very big night. You know, this is why Damian Lillard left Portland right here for moments like tonight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, the NBA Cup.
I'll buy that at least for today.
It's here.
There ain't gonna be no buddy-buddy stuff.
New all-star format in the NBA, but this begins our Tuesday college football offering plate. I see more coaches are bitching about the transfer portal being when it is. Hopefully enough of them bitch that they just change it.
They're absolutely right about this.
Well, yeah.
I mean, college football coaches bitch about everything and way too many things and too often, but this is one that they should all be against.
100%.
It is royally screwing up the postseason for a lot of people, including the playoff teams.
Which playoff team has it affected the most?
I don't know about which one the most, but like the fact that the whole Penn State backup thing was like a news item yesterday. That's something they're dealing with that people are asking about, that Franklin's talking about. Now that kid's not there. They're getting another quarterback ready. Like, that sucks. And that shouldn't be happening right now.
Has the playoff team lost any key player? I can't imagine that.
I would have to look. I know that there are other players. I think there's some players from Arizona State and from Texas that are also in the transfer portal, but I'm not positive about that.
Well, but again, key players. Sometimes they're rotational guys. Yeah.
And likely not key players, but still players that coaching staff has to account for, that completed your team, that is an extra distraction. The fact that players are having to decide right now whether or not they should be making that decision.
Well, here's one easy thing, and this may be not easy at all, and I'm an idiot, but why can't they just move up all these other bowl games and then do the transfers after the bowl games?
I think one of the big reasons is
why do we have to wait? Like, the College Football Playoff is going off before even the other crappy bowl games.
Right.
Bowl is on the 1st of January.
But that's because the College Football Playoff is going to span 3 to 4 weeks.
I mean, the 4th of January.
Or 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah, no, that's right. But why can't the other bowls? What did we have last weekend? We had one football game. Why could we not have bowl games?
Yeah.
And then open the portal after that? I mean, just it doesn't seem
well
hard.
And I think part of the reason that they don't, or they need it to be before the end of the year, is kids who do transfer will enroll right away for like the January semester. And then they can get on and play spring football and all that.
Yeah.
And so if you push the transfer date back, then it messes up frankly, song and dance of the academic side of things.
Well, this is where we talked about this with Dan Lanning, and he said there really is no good way to do it because of that.
No.
That right there. Somebody somewhere is going to – it's a really hard thing to squeeze in, but surely they can do it better than they do it now. The changes to the College Football Playoff may be coming as early as next year, according to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. It is not a shock, but he is reporting that leaders in college football are already calling the playoff system broken, which
I find
hilarious, as it is the first year of it that you decided.
And we haven't played a game yet.
It's broken. They want to change three things, or actually they're talking about three different bullet points, and they are talking about as early as next season. Now, any changes that are implemented next season, 2025, would need a unanimous vote of the 10 conferences in Notre Dame, and that's never going to happen. They're never going to agree on everything because it benefits some conferences not others. They're never going to. There's no way. The Big 12 and ACC is not going to concede to the SEC and Big 10.
No, but if the changes aren't necessarily gatekeeping against them, if the changes are more about either how seeding happens or things like that, that may not affect anybody.
And I have a hard time thinking.
I agree. It's hard to get all 10 plus Notre Dame on board.
Yeah, I just have a hard time thinking they're going to get a unanimous vote on anything before next year. So, but then in 2026, the deal is up, and that's when the Big Ten and the SEC hold all the power and will likely get everything they want because the College Football Playoff crumbles without them. So buckle up for that. But it sounds like this year and next year are going to be roughly the same, but here are the three things they're talking about. One is, should the field expand to 14, which I think is dumb because they should just make it 16 so that there are no buys, clean eight-team bracket on each side.
I kind of like the buys.
You like the buys?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it rewards something that you've done in the regular season.
Well, what if you got rewarded by just playing the 16 seed?
Well, we've seen, this is what Oregon fan is complaining about right now. They got the one seed and people think they got the crappiest path.
Well, why don't you go tell them to shut up?
Well, just telling you.
Stop bitching, like the coaches.
I don't have a problem with it because they have a bye.
Well, but I mean, if you have 16 teams, you can seed it way easier than what they're doing now. But they're saying they want to talk about expanding to 14. Okay.
That might not even be true, though, because you could have an SEC team like an Alabama or an A&M who's a 16. And is that a good draw for a one?
Yeah.
Not. I mean,
probably not.
Just because I think it's not 16 seeds are not created in college football the way they would be in college basketball.
No, that's fair. Because
you're still one a top near top 15 team in the country.
I think what they're doing with the 14 is they're just trying to get more Big Ten and SEC teams in there.
Sure.
The other two things they're going to discuss immediately is, should the four highest ranked conference champions get byes if they're outside the top four in the rankings? In other words, just use your rankings to seed. So put out the rankings. The top four get the buys, period. It doesn't have to be a conference champion. And then the last thing is, should the SEC and the Big Ten each get three or more automatic bids, while the Big 12 and the ACC get two each? And they're talking about, you know what else they mentioned? This is really wild. They're talking about play-in games in the SEC and the Big Ten. Like, down the stretch, funneling
games. Is that more to avoid the crazy tiebreaker scenarios that didn't actually come to roost?
Yeah, possibly.
Because I remember, like, the Big 12 was, like, there was a chance there was going to be an eight-way tie, and they'd have to go down to, like, the 16th tiebreaker, and nobody wants it decided like that.
So. Well, everybody says that, but I think you kind of do want it decided by predetermined tiebreakers, don't you? Because that's how the NFL does it.
Well, I mean, to get in, yeah, but I don't think you want, you know, if you have five teams with the same record and only two get to play for the championship game or for the championship, then, like, I at least get where a play-in that helps funnel the best teams into that makes sense.
What I do is I'd expand to 16. You have no buys. You take three automatic bids from the SEC and the Big Ten, two from the ACC, two from the Big 12. You will take the highest-ranked group of five, then five wildcard teams. One of those would be Notre Dame. And those wildcard teams would just be the highest in the rankings.
I don't have a problem with that.
This year, what that would mean is Iowa State would probably be in as the second Big 12. Now, you could argue that BYU could get in over Iowa State, but Iowa State played in the championship game.
Then we're right back to the are you punishing teams who play in their conference championship argument.
But BYU lost to a five-win Kansas team at home. So don't do that if you don't want to be in this discussion.
Agreed.
So the teams, just for comparison, the teams that would leave out if you did that would be BYU, Missouri, Illinois, Colorado, Syracuse, and Army. And the only team that would have an argument there is BYU, who could lobby for the auto bid from the Big 12. But like I said, they lost to five-win Kansas at home. What leg do you have to stand on? The only thing left then would be how to balance the schedules to get a conference champion without conference title games. I think that's the harder thing, because the conference title games are antiquated. They kind of need to go away. But how do you get a conference champion when you have like 25 effing teams in a league?
Right, yeah.
How do you do that?
And we've had all this issue already deciding who's good and who's not because of who plays who and who doesn't.
Yeah. So then you move up, what you do is you move up the start of the playoff to this past weekend, and you play every week until it wraps around New Year's. That doesn't seem that hard.
The only place I'll push back here, teams 13 through 16 ain't winning the title. They're just not.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not saying...
So you don't want them in there?
I just think it's... I mean, is Iowa State, as the second Big 12 team, going to make some noise?
Well,
like,
I get that, but I think you do want... What you want is enough teams in there so that the debate really isn't a debate. Like, this year, it's a real big debate.
I thought it was perfect, though, because it's like, if you're Alabama, don't lose three games to 6-6.
Okay,
like,
well, but hold on. You can say that about any amount.
But no, I also think that Clemson, as a 12 seed, is still competitive, more so than the 16 would be.
Here is the difference between 12 and 16. Just looking at this year's example, there are teams that are not in this field that are better. It's not even subjective. They are better than teams that are in the field. Now, I'm not saying that's not right.
Right, but
they didn't qualify.
And that's where I'm like, you just got to earn it then.
But the 16, you're not going to get teams ranked 13, 14, 15, 16 that are better than you're not going to get teams that are ranked 17, 18, 19, 20 that are objectively better than teams in the field. It's just not going to happen. Maybe one. Maybe you could say Missouri's better than, I don't know, who's in the field? Indiana? Probably not, but
no.
You could.
But
you know what I'm saying?
I get what you're trying to say.
It just waters down that debate to the point where it's not really that much of a debate. This year, though, with only 12, boy, there's some pretty damn good teams left out of that thing.
Text line points out that if they go to 14, you're still getting two buys, and maybe that is the sweet spot. Because
I don't know. To me, 16 makes the most sense, but whatever.
It's the cleanest, for sure. I just don't know that we need all those teams in there.
Well, the other thing is that the only subjectivity, because people bitch about all the subjectivity. Well, it's going to be subjective unless you play balanced schedules. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the subjectivity is how they're ranked, and if you really wanted, you could bake in a set of tiebreakers like the NFL does. In other words, rank them by transparent metrics, much like the league, which is record first. But then, of course, it's college and schedules are imbalanced, so you could add a strength of schedule component, but let everybody see that and put it into a formula that says, here's the tiebreaker. And so then when they're tied, it's not decided by a committee. It's decided by a predetermined set of tiebreakers.
I'm totally good with that. That's fine.
I mean, I just don't think any of these things are really all that hard. It's just you've got all these different entities pulling in different directions with different interests.
Sure.
That's the problem. It's not one league saying, here's how we're going to do it, and this is going to be great for everyone.
Well, and here's the other thing we've also seen this season, like, and we see in the NFL all the time. It's a sport of attrition, and so I think the buys really help the teams that are trying to make it to the end. And frankly, if we get to 16, I don't think we can go any further because we can't add any more games than that for the college kids. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. But again, I think that if you eliminate the championship games, which I think is the hardest part of how you get conference champions without championship games, that right there is an extra week that you get to add that.
Yeah.
And everybody plays instead of just a couple play. I don't know. That's just, you know, it's just one guy's thought. But they're already talking about, we're just spitballing. They're already talking about changing it, man. Changing it next year. I just would like it if they just radically changed everything to make it like we really all think this is great and then just stick with it, you know, and tweak as you go.
I think they thought they were doing that.
Well, they did a terrible job of it.
Well, here we are.
Our Tuesday college football offering plate continues next. What Deion Jr. said about Travis Hunter and what he does with his NIL money. That's next on The Fan. Da-da-da. Is this Santa Baby?
That's correct.
Great little Christmas
Santa
ditty.
Baby,
oh, Nathaniel Rateliff.
Under the tree.
Love that guy.
I'm just like putting random Christmas term searches into the system and finding whatever songs I can, putting them all on a page, and try not to repeat any.
I went to Crystal Ballroom to see Nathaniel one night because I love him. And he was standing out front smoking a cigarette. And people, like, nobody recognized him. Of course, I did, as a big P1 of Nathaniel Rateliff.
And did you say something?
No, I didn't say anything, but I was observing what they were talking about, and he was standing there with somebody else, and he said, he started coughing. He puts out his cigarette, and he starts coughing, and then somehow I picked up that he was really sick, but yet he was out front smoking a dart. And I thought, you know what, man? This is going to be a great show.
And was it?
Yes. That dude got up there and rocked. He was sick as hell, but he still goes out and has a freaking marble red.
Yeah, but I would think that might still affect the quality.
Well, you heard his voice. It's very raspy.
Well, I know.
I think cigarettes help him. Like
maybe.
Like you, the last several weeks.
Yeah, I've been.
Your smoking habit.
I got my parliaments back.
Yeah. Okay, so we are, we're in the middle of the college football offering plate. Specifically, Tuesday college football offering plate. I wanted to tell you about this because I saw it, and yesterday I was talking about how I was impressed with Travis Hunter at the Heisman ceremony. I haven't seen much of him this year other than his play. I just haven't seen a lot of interviews. I don't know what kind of kid he's like. Seems like a really nice kid and really fun, loving, and good head on his shoulders. Well, then I saw this from Deion Sanders Jr., who is, of course, Coach Prime's youngest. He is the videographer for the Buffs, and he recently went on a podcast, Zero to 60 podcast. This is former Colorado offensive lineman Matt McChesney. He went on there,
sure,
and he said, do you know that Travis Hunter receives no NIL from his collective? According to Deion Sanders Jr., the Heisman Trophy winner and one of the best players in college football, does not accept any money from the collective at Colorado, the NIL collective. Instead, what he is, what is designated to him, funds the NIL contributions for others on the roster.
I did read that yesterday.
Did you know that?
I didn't until yesterday. That was a new piece for me. I had no idea that he was taking money that essentially should have been earmarked for him and helping distribute it to 10 to 15 other kids.
What a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, here's the quote from Sanders.
That's real team stuff.
He said, quote, did you know he receives no NIL from the collective? He's one of the biggest donors to the collective, meaning he's paying a lot of other people's NIL on this team. He's paying at least 10 to 15 guys' NILs on the team. He donates his own money. What a stud, said McChesney.
Yeah, and big props for that. Dude, that's awesome.
Yes. He knows he's about to be rich, being the NFL.
Yeah, but how many people who know they're going to be rich give away their money? That's great.
I know. Good kid. Glad he won the Heisman, now that I know that. Although, wait till we find out that Ashton Jeanty is doing that as well.
Is Dylan Gabriel funded the whole team?
Dylan Gabriel has NIL deals with like 8 companies.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's doing that?
I bet he's doing something nice for somebody.
At Oregon, they have a lot of dough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Phil and all that.
Oh, I know.
Colorado? I don't know how big their NIL collective is, but that's really cool of Travis Hunter.
Agreed.
One quick other thing to wrap up our college football offering play. I just wanted to throw this out there that who's the kid? Is the wide receiver for USC? Gosh, his last name's escaping me. He's got the brother on the team that left as well. Branch.
Oh.
Zachariah Branch.
Okay.
Is that his name? The wide receiver for USC?
Yeah, I think that's right.
He has transferred.
I did not see this.
Yeah, he's leaving. And so all the graphics about Lincoln Riley are popping back up, and one of them...
Oh, yeah, no, I did see that. I thought you meant that he... Did he pick his school, or he's just in the portal?
No, he's in the portal.
Okay, I heard
that. One of them said that... Well, there's two. One said that Lincoln Riley had 3 5-star kids in his first full recruiting class, and all 3 transferred. And he has had... Of the top 15 players that Lincoln Riley has brought to USC... In the 2021 and 2022 classes, so of the top 15 players in his first couple classes there, 10 of them have now transferred. He has only kept 5. And those guys aren't all 5-stars. Some of them are 4-stars, but that is not a good ratio for
Lincoln. At some point, he's going to have to answer for this. You know, like with his bosses, you would think.
I think he might tell you that there's only so much he can do when kids have their hands out and we don't have our collective together, because they don't. USC does not have their stuff together when it comes to NIL.
So then the big question is...
Is he out of there?
Well, no. I'm just... What do the teams and programs do that don't see major roster attrition from people deciding to leave? What do they do differently? Are they just good and they have money? Is it that simple? But
I would my first thought there is that USC attracts maybe a different kid who does expect to get, I mean,
then the highest, you have to change that.
The highest level guys expect something. I mean,
sure.
You know, this is what I'm saying. This is not all his kids. It's just his top recruits. And those are the ones that always have their hand out, right? That want NIL money and should get in it and do get NIL money.
But is it happening more there than at other places? And if so, why?
I mean, I think he would tell you that. Why is because it doesn't seem like the university has really committed to this new age of college football.
And that's crazy considering their standing in college football and how much they had been a titan in the landscape very recently.
You'd think. I mean, Oregon figured it out. They were right on top of this from the very beginning. SMU has been now, and look at what they're doing. But then you have other schools. Like, it sounds like North Carolina was a little behind the eight ball, and kind of Bill Belichick was the one that woke them up and made them realize they needed to get into this game. College football has changed a lot, and some of these old-ass ADs and presidents don't see it. And USC, I think they don't even have a president, right? I think their president left. Their AD is the old AD from Cohen from Washington. She knows what she's doing. But,
that's right.
You know, I mean, it's more than just the AD saying, hey, we got to drum a bunch of money here. So I think that's what's going on at USC. At any rate, let's get to a real sport. The NBA Cup Championship is tonight. And we have a new all-star format in the NBA. We'll see what you think of that next on The Fan.